Today on Idiots Go Running, Andrew, can you believe what we're going to say?
I cannot believe it, Colin.
On Idiots Go Running, we have Dean Karnazes. Say hello, Dean.
You can call me a fellow idiot. How's that?
Oh, that's even better.
We'd be honored. On our show, we've got a guest who likes to run.
Do they really? Do they jog around the place just for fun?
That's not fun.
Are they a special, a professional athlete?
Nope.
Lining at the start with the... with the elite.
It don't matter, we've got a guest on our show. Woo-hoo! Because we asked and they didn't say no.
It don't matter
because our show has a guest.
It does.
Pretty much because we asked and they said yes.
Yes!
I love that.
Today on the show we've got Dean, and if you don't know who Dean Karnazes is, or fellow idiot, thank you very much, Dean, for that one. Dean has ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes, 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 days. He's ran a marathon to the South Pole, 3,000 miles around the United States, set a world record on a treadmill, competed and won numerous ultra marathon and endurance events.
And now, Dean, you can add that you have been a guest on the Idiot School Running podcast to that list, which brings us to our first question. Why on earth are you speaking to two people from Northern Ireland on a podcast called Idiots Go Running?
Oh, I mean, I love the backstory of everything that you guys are doing. You know, the whole journey with you know, what you've overcome, how you've developed a friendship. I couldn't say no. I'm a fellow idiot. Like I said, you seem fun loving and spirited, and I'm with you all the way. People, you know, they hear my story and they think I'm some serious guy, you know, that's got his, he's pounding his chest all the time. And that's just not who I am at all. So I welcome the opportunity, and I think this will be a great show.
Thank you, Dean. And you touched on my backstory. I messaged you and I said, yes, I had multiple sclerosis, and I was actually in the hospital yesterday getting an infusion, and I've taken up running. Now, I'll not be on, I don't think I'll ever be on podiums, but I find running, it's just, for me, it's magic. And I read your books, and that was the beauty about your books. You just inspire people to run. I was on your Instagram and I was following you, and you're currently in Greece, aren't you? Yes.
Yeah. I'm in Athens right now.
What are you up to in Greece, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm 100% Greek, and I was fascinated with the backstory of the marathon.
Yeah.
And ancient Greek history. So I just delved into it and learned all about marathon, how it came to be. I've run the route, the ancient route, a number of times. I was in the township of Marathon this past weekend. It actually is a place in Greece. And so I just got really into the history and love it. And the running here is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's the weather here. I don't want to say this to you guys, but it's pretty nice as well.
I suppose Ireland's pretty green. You know, we're blessed with a lot of green foliage, green everything, and you need a bit of rain, Dean. You need a bit of rain.
Well, we've got a lot of rain, Colin. We've got a lot of rain here in Fergus.
Sometimes too much. But one of your posts, speaking about rain, Andrew, one of your posts is about life isn't about surviving the storm, it's about dancing in the rain. And I think you finished it with a woohoo! I absolutely loved that post because you just looked like you were in that moment. You tell me you were in a bit of a runner's high.
Yeah. I mean, I was running, I was doing 10 marathons in 10 days in Greece.
Wow.
And it was, I think that was marathon number 8. And it was about midway through, and this storm hit, this incredible storm with thunder and lightning and rain. And, you know, I didn't try to hide from the elements. I just said, screw it, I'm going to stay in this and just run right through it. And it was energizing, you know, very energizing. I felt like it was Zeus, you know, throwing thunderbolts at me.
It was absolutely, absolutely beaten down on you.
For the listeners that don't know, Dean, you've just come back from a run. Tell us how far you ran, and what are you currently wearing in this podcast with us? We can see you, but the listeners might not be able to see you.
Yeah, so I ran up to the top of a place called Mount Penteli, which is the mountain where all the marble for the Acropolis came from. It's about 15 kilometers from downtown Athens, and it's an incredible mountain. From that mountaintop, you can see all the way to the tip of, it's called Attica, which is where Athens is, and as well as the Bay of Marathon, where the marathon originated. So I ran up to there, came home, I was getting ready to do the podcast with you guys, and I just got out of the shower and had my bathrobe on. I said, well, give me a couple minutes to change. And I thought, screw it. I'm just going to do this interview in my bathrobe. I've never done it before.
This is an exclusive. This is the first time you've ever done a podcast wearing your bathrobe.
Never before.
We are so privileged. And I suppose another point when I was... I'll always probably refer to your books, Dean, because I absolutely love them. I was engrossed in them. I couldn't wait to get back in the car because I would listen to my audiobook myself. And you've ate some interesting food, haven't you? Pina coladas on trails.
Pizza during the... That's the big famous one that I think you're well known
fermented
for.
Fermented goat's milk? How you even kept that down? Now, Andrew loves his jelly. And Andrew came across jelly. We were out on a run and you forgot water. We were doing a half marathon and he forgot water. And he just had a block of jelly in his pocket. And Andrew's love affair started with jelly.
So I just, when I go out running, I take jelly, not a fancy jelly. It's maybe referred to as Jell-O in America. Just a bar, a solid jelly, nothing fancy. And every time I go out for a run, I have it and I love it. Which brings me to a question, Dean, a very important one, because a big part of our podcast, you have no idea how long we speak about jelly on a normal podcast. What is your favorite flavor of jelly or Jell-O?
Oh, you know, there's a company called Cliff, and they make a margarita flavored jelly. That's right? Incredible. Margarita flavored. Wow.
Mm. That's unbelievable. Of jelly.
Whoever invented that deserves a Nobel Prize because it's like the greatest invention ever. And I think you can get them online, but I owe you guys some of these because once you have them, no other jelly will ever compare. And it's all you'll be talking about for the rest of your shows.
Do you know what? As soon as we finish this interview, this is the first thing I'm going to go and order. And have you ever been to Ireland, Dean?
I have a couple times.
Oh, brilliant. Just for holidays, sightseeing, or are you doing some running, or all of the above?
A little of both. But it was for my book launch. So I came and did some book signings, and I went running with a couple guys. And I remember what are they called? The midges, the little gnats?
Yes, little yes.
Oh, you were saying they're awful, but you've ran through there, I'm sure, is it Badwater with all types of bugs and everything, and the midges annoyed you?
They just, you know, they go up your nose. It's hard to eat. You know, they go in your mouth, you open your mouth, they're in your mouth. They're in your ears, they're everywhere. Yeah,
that's just the way we are. You know, we just get used to it, and you just get used to it, Dean.
Ireland is it's a great country, and it's a very diverse country. I don't, you know, you guys know, I mean, it's green, like you said, it's really green and lush and it's beautiful. Yeah. And there's a great running scene in Ireland as well. I mean, a vibrant running scene. So it's, you're in a great place. Yeah.
There's no shortage of runs. And I have to confess, Dean, I probably have only ran in Ireland for no other reason other than just having a family, having kids, trying to navigate this life of being a parent and then just trying to fit in the running. Because running takes up a lot of your time. And as I say, you have a family as well and you have your kids. Is it all your family then? Is any of them runners?
Yeah, my kids, they're runners, but they're not, you know, they're not hardcore runners. They just run to clear their heads and for exercise.
They don't have a running gene like yourself?
And that's fine. I mean, people say, aren't you disappointed your kids aren't ultra runners? I probably not. You know, you guys know what it means to be an ultra runner. It kind of takes over your life in a good way and in a bad way. So,
yeah,
you know, we want our kids to pursue their own passions. Yeah.
Well, my kids have kind of fell into running because I'm going to jump straight back to your book, Dean. I apologize, but jumping back to your book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. There's a story in that about a dad whose kids were maybe on devices too much. He says, if you run for a mile, you get half an hour in games. Or if you do an hour's activity, you get half an hour games. Do you know I've recently installed that into my kids? And my son is now begging me to go 2 miles with him. So Zachariah, it's amazing. It's amazing, Dean. It's something like that where he was just... He just said to me, Daddy, 2 miles tonight. And now my runs, I would say I do a 7 mile run through that day. It now increases my runs to 9 mile and it's the best run of my day. It's 2 miles, chatting to my son. We unpack a lot of things that are going on. And then my other two sons, I've got a set of twins. they joined me, and it feels like you're a bit of a wolf pack running through the streets. It's incredible. I love being out running with the kids, you know.
And they're young kids. What ages are they, Colin?
Elijah and Jacob are 9 and Zachariah is 12. So they're just, once they get going, they've got energy to burn, Dean.
I love that. I want to come run with you guys.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dean. We've got this 100 miler coming. Feel free to join us if you want. Anytime you want to run with us, you just pick up the phone and get in touch with us, and we would be more than happy to run. Although, we always joke, Andrew has rest days, Dean.
Too many rest days. Colin sticks to a pattern of running. I like maybe one too many rest days. So that's why he's the real runner out of the two of us. And I just try to tag along and keep up with him.
You were chatting about jelly. We'll have to get into the jelly. But Dean, all our guest episodes, I'm going to apologize for this one. Andrew usually doesn't come on the guest episodes. He heard you were coming on. He says, Colin, I have to come on this one. And he's going to ask you himself. But Andrew always asks our guests a question. Now, previous questions have been based around werewolves, Cool Runnings, and
McDonald's.
So Andrew wants to order McDonald's halfway through our 100 miler and get it delivered.
Inspired by your pizza. Yep.
Course, but he went down a McDonald's route. So Dean, I apologize. I don't know how you're going to answer it, but here we go. Here is Andrew's question. I'm going to roll a jingle.
Andrew asks a question.
What will it be?
Andrew asks a question.
Just wait and see.
Andrew asks a question.
A mystery key. Unlocking the answers with some curiosity.
So, Dean, we love jelly, we love a bit of running, and we also love jingles. So that's another jingle. My kids are involved in that jingle. But as Colin says, I've got a question, and the question I have for you, it's going to take maybe 45 seconds to get to it, but we have talked about your books. You have some of the best ultramarathon running books on the market, and I'm not joking when I say that. We love them, and they're so inspiring. But I have come across a book which I believe is it's an ultramarathon trail running book. And I'm just going to tell you, have you heard of the story, We're Going on a Bear Hunt?
No.
So it's quite a famous kids book called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. And during this, a family do a number of things. They go through long wavy grass. They go through a deep cold river. They go through thick oozy mud. They go through a dark forest, swirling snowstorm, and a gloomy cave. And I believe it's a kid's book, but I believe it's also an ultra marathon book. And I believe they do all these things with the purpose of, this is like training to go on a trail run ultra marathon. And in the book, when they meet an obstacle, the thing about the book is they say, we can't go over it. What can't go under it, we have to go through it. And I think that's really relevant in trail running. So many times you can't go over it, under it, you have to go through it. Now, I hate to spoil the end of this book, but when we're going on a bear hunt, they actually do come across a bear at the end, and then the bear chases them all the way home. And I believe at this point, all their training to do an ultra marathon comes into practice, and they run, this family run an ultra marathon back to the house, and with the bear chasing them. And the great thing about this book, one of the best lines in the book is at the very end, they say what nearly every ultra marathoner says, we're never going on a bear hunt again. And I've done a few long runs, and at the end of every run I say, I'm never doing that again. And here's the question, and it's a deep one, and apologies if you've been asked this before, Dean, but what do you think the bear represents or symbolizes in this book, if we look at this book through the eyes of an ultra marathon trail running book?
I think the bear is a great motivator.
Oh.
The bear reminds us of the dichotomy of ultra running. You know, we hate it and we love it. It kills us, but it gives us life at the same time. And I think that's what the bear represents. He's just reminding us that, embrace the suck. You love the misery, you love the pain, and maybe that's not a bad thing.
That is amazing, Dean. That's amazing. And it's deep and it's 100% true. That's brilliant, Colin. What's your reaction?
I am absolutely. Do you know what? You've got a way with words, Dean. You got a way with words. I don't even know what to say to that. I was expecting this could go off on all tangents, but that's beautiful. beautiful, man.
You see, a follow-up question, Dean. Me and Colin, as you know, we've signed up to do 108 miles. I've never done more than 40. Colin's never done more than 40.
42 back-to-back.
42. There's probably going to be one point in this run. Maybe it's mile 80. Maybe it's well before, where me and Colin, we're going to run together no matter what. We might feel like we can't go on. You see, at that time where we just feel like we can't go on, would you have any words to say to us at that moment where we just feel like we're done?
Well, first I'll start by saying that if you only have one moment like that, you had a good race.
Brilliant. There's
probably about a dozen moments like that. But I mean, one, think back to this interview and think that I'm with you guys, and you can't let me down, so you got to keep going. And then, the second thing is, put the blinders on to everything except the tree that's 10 meters up the trail. Don't think about the finish. Don't think about how much longer you've got to go. Just take it one step at a time. Just get to the tree. And then when you get to the tree, just get 5 feet down the trail further. Just put one foot in front of the other to the best of your ability. Don't think about anything except taking your next footstep as best you can. And stay focused and present in the here and now. Do that. Don't think about anything. Just my next footstep. And you can get through it. It's overwhelming when you're going to be exhausted at the halfway point and think, I can't even get out of this chair. How am I going to run another, 54 miles? Don't think about that. Just want, there's an African proverb, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
That is class. That's amazing, Dean. I will probably record that and put it on my phone. So whenever, every time it happens, Andrew's expecting one time. That's you're going to put him off running. You're going to put him off running. Andrew's expecting there's going to be a time that's going to be bad. But if you're thinking there's going to be a lot of them times, then this will be played a lot on our phone.
We might put that in loop, Dean. That just might be on looped. And instead, mile 80, it might be in loop from like mile 27 or something.
And I've been known to stick a beat to words, Dean, just for a bit of fun. So we might be cutting that, editing that, sticking a beat, and then we've got the Dean beat in the background. That's, I can hear it in my head already. Dean, you hear me nodding to it. Dean, I've got a question for you. And this comes from my friend in America, Matt Nigs, right? Like yourself, fellow idiot, Matt Nigs, a fellow runner with MS in America, started a group called Running with MS. I'll give him a shout out because he's an incredible guy, always positive. Me and him have connected and we just have this banter. We're texting each other every day. Matt is doing MS Run the US, where he's running across the US raising money for multiple sclerosis. But he said, Colin, I would love to ask him this question. And the question is, and I this is also deep, and the way you've been answering questions, knocking them out of the park, Dean, you'll knock this one out of the park. What is the one question you want someone to ask you?
Which you've never been asked before.
Which I've never been asked before.
Just the one question you want someone to ask you.
I guess, people ask me about my my biggest regret in life. Mm-hmm. And what I've never told them is that it was not buying Apple stock when it was at $6 a share.
That's an answer. That's an answer.
I'm better right now.
Knocked out of the park. And then the other one I love to ask people is, it really gets into their head. So, Dean, imagine you've got one race left, just one race left, right? And you're the director, okay? What would that race look like? It can be anything, your wildest imagination. And who would you run it with? It could be real or fictional.
I have a dream, and I want to run from the lowest point on Earth to the highest point on Earth. Mm-hmm. So the Badwater Ultramarathon goes from the lowest point in the Western Hemisphere, which is Badwater, to the highest point in the contiguous U.S., which is the top of Mount Whitney. And I want to run from the Dead Sea to the top of Mount Everest. And that's going to be at a 5 or 6 month run. So who do I want to do it with? As many people that will come and join me along the way. I want as many people to come and join. And I want it to be about us doing this incredible, never been done before feat. And that's a dream. And yeah, come join me, you guys.
I would be there. Might be an Andrew's rest day, though.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't make it to the top of Everest. There's other bits of that trip I would be all for, but Everest, my God, that's another ball game. Wow. And when you say it's a dream, do you think it'll happen, Dean? Because the stuff you've done is just, it's unbelievable. That would cap it all off, really, wouldn't it? Like, that's a different level.
Yeah, you know, dreams come true. I dreamed about running 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 days. That happened. A lot of dreams that I've had have come to be. So this one's going to be tough because, you know, the route I have to follow is tricky. And, one of the routes, the quickest route goes through Iraq and Iran. And the U.S. State Department saying that we're not going to let you go through these countries. And I've said this before in interviews. And if people hear this interview in Iraq or Iran, you wouldn't believe the messages I get. I got a message from a running group in Iran, and they said, screw the State Department. You show up at our border, and we'll have 100 runners surround you the whole way through our country. You can stay Wow. with us in any of our houses. We want to run with you. And I think that message, you know, it transcends. It's kind of a message the world could hear right now. It's kind of a good message instead of all the bad messages we hear.
Yeah, the negative news moves faster than the positive. And the stuff you do, Dean, how you make running into something more than running, it's incredible. Like, you've got two guys talking to you here who's going, this guy's kind of a bit of a legend, and he's talking to us in a bathrobe after a run.
Do you like the colour on me, by the way, the colour of the bathroom?
Yeah, the bathroom's nice.
Good tan you've got over there. Colin says he's only done running in Northern Ireland and in Ireland. I had a bit of warm weather. I call it warm weather training in Spain, but I went to Spain for a family holiday and I would run 3 miles, get a coffee and pan of chocolate and run back 3 miles every morning.
Well, I've got an extra room in my house in Greece. So if you guys ever want to fly to Athens and run in the birthplace of the marathon.
Oh, Dean, don't say stuff like that because you'll get an email very soon saying, let's make it happen. Do you base yourself in Greece now? Is this home now?
I'm trying to make it a semi-permanent home. Yes, I am. I've said for the past 10 years, I want to spend more time in Greece because I'm Greek. Yeah. And, you know, I've got to go back to the U.S. because of business and races and things like that. But I'm trying to spend as much time as I can in Greece. Yeah. And, I've started my life again. You know, at my age, I've kind of restarted my life, and there's never a dull moment. You know, every time I feel like I'm getting a little bit stale, I just disrupt my life and do something wild and crazy. And, you know, just picking everything up and putting in three suitcases and moving to Greece was kind of wild and crazy.
I suppose with your lifestyle, Dean, and everything you've ran and did, there's just maybe there's just no fear in you. You accept and you thrive and just changing it up and doing something new and pushing yourself to the next level. Like, I've only been running marathons, and then this is me doing 100 miler, and this is me pushing myself to the next level. If one day I could have a story or a journey like yours, it would be incredible, Dean. It would absolutely be incredible. Like you said, eating an elephant, you do it in small bits, small chunks. And I suppose that's the way you've done your life. And now looking back, it just looks like this massive journey, but it's just been in wee small chunks. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah. I love adventure. I love exploration. I love seeing new places, meeting new people, and I've made it my life somehow. And I feel so privileged. I would never think that I could make a career as an ultra runner for 3 decades. And it's been amazing. And, you know, I meet people like you guys, we have great conversations. We can relate to each other. We're kindred spirits because, when you shared suffering brings people together. You guys know what it's like to face pain and to want to stop and to keep going. So it's been a great journey. And every time I think I'm going to kind of slow down, I just end up speeding up more.
One thing, Dean, and this will not make the podcast. Could you congratulate us on running 108 miles? And this will never get seen or heard unless we do the 108 miles. And it just might push me and Colin on to know that we've got this in our back pocket, that this will only be heard if we complete it. Does that make sense?
No, I think this needs to go on the record. I think you need to keep this in the podcast.
Oh, Dean, you put me on the spot, Dean.
Be held accountable.
Yeah,
not take this out. I want to be with you guys, and I want you to look at me in the eyes when you're going to quit and say, "Dean won't want us to quit. I'm going to keep going."
Yeah, because you've already congratulated us. So if you congratulate us on completing 100, then Andrew, we have to do it. I am doing it, Dean. I'm 100% doing this. I've got my training plan behind me.
I mean, I congratulate you guys on having the courage to try. So that's the first thing I'd like to congratulate you on. But, you know, good intentions are only half done. You got to get to the finish line. You got to get that medal around your neck, you know?
Or the buckle on your belt.
Whatever it might be. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down in life. It matters how many times you pick yourself back up. So you're going to get knocked down. It's going to suck. You're going to want to quit. You're going to say, I can't go on. You're going to make excuses. I've got a cramp. I've got this or that. But you know what you got to do. It's not going to be easy. And, you know, a DNF lasts a lifetime. So when you want to quit, that'll never go away. Time is on your side during an ultra. All the time give up, and they, you know, by the time they're 15 minutes down the road and they're, you know, after they DNF, they're thinking, why did I do that? I still had something left in me. So don't the practical advice, don't DNF at an aid station.
Yeah.
Say, when I get to the aid station, I'm not going to quit at the aid station. Because a lot of times when you're hurting, you're saying, when I get to the next aid station, I'm going to call it quits. Don't. Force yourself to get up and just keep going out of the aid station. A lot of times you get going out of the aid station and then you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going back. I'm already past it. And you just end up getting a second wind and you keep going.
Dean, do you mind whenever we complete this, I drop you an email and I say, Dean, here's a photo of me and Andrew with our buckles, and I'm going to send you something. Do you mind if I drop you an email with our buckles and our completion?
I'd love that. I would love that.
Happy to, where's he gone? Where's he gone, Dean?
Just the end of the podcast.
He's gone to train. He knows he has to train. This
isn't my robe. For the people at home, I have now taken off my t-shirt and I am wearing my wife's robe. So Dean, you're an inspiration in more ways than one.
A handsome young man, Andrew.
And likewise, thank you very much. You see that comment? That is being put in my CV. And I'm not joking, Dean. I am not joking.
Along with the photo, Dean. Dean, I would go and get my robe, but I'm in my garage. My neighbours would see me running about. Dean, it has been an absolute pleasure you coming on the show. Have you enjoyed it?
You guys are fun. You're really fun, and I've enjoyed it a lot. I wish I could join you on that 108 miles. It's not even 100 miles.
108, yep. And I'm really annoyed about those 8, because when I get to 100, I think those 8 are going to be a killer.
Those last 8, they're going to suck. They're going to be horrible. But
I love it. I love the pain, Dean. I love the agony. I love pushing my body to new limits to see when it's going to start breaking down. And so far, I've got a 50 miler next month, and then I've got a marathon the month after that, and then I've got the 100 miler. So far, I'm standing. Like Elton John said, I'm still standing. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. To me and Andrew, you are an absolute superstar and you're incredible. And I love your just how humble you are, how you can even turn up. I can't believe you're in a bathrobe. I love it.
This is a real treat. Thank you so, so much for your generosity and your time and your banter.
Thank you so very much.
You're more than welcome, and charge on. And I can't wait to get that email from you about the finish of the photo of you together at the finish line of that race.